Automation Lane Cleanup Masterclass with Live 12 Stock Packs, Advanced Edition. Today we're taking a messy drum and bass project and turning it into something that feels expensive. Clean movement, repeatable gestures, and automation lanes you can actually understand a week from now. This lesson is all about one idea: fewer lanes, more control. In DNB, automation is the difference between a loop and a record. Filter flicks, reverb throws, bass motion, drum pressure, transition energy. But after a couple hours, most sets end up with 12 lanes per track, random parameters moving, duplicate curves, tiny hidden points, and you're stuck asking, why is this even changing? By the end, you're going to build a tidy 32 to 64 bar arrangement, where the bass is controlled by 2 to 4 macros instead of 20 lanes. Your drum bus has a small set of clean, labeled controls, your FX throws are standardized on return sends, and your transitions are driven by a consistent system that's easy to duplicate. Let's set the vibe. We're working advanced, but we're staying stock. Ableton Live 12 devices, plus any stock packs you've got installed, like core library kits or any drum and bass style drum racks you like. The point isn't the samples. The point is automation hygiene. Step 0. Prep for clean automation. Set your tempo to the classic pocket, 172 to 176 BPM. Switch to arrangement view, because that's where automation discipline actually matters. Hit it to show automation mode. Now do the boring stuff that saves your life later. Color code. Drums in one color family, bass in another, music and atmos in a third, returns neutral. The reason this matters is that automation is visual. If you can't find things fast, you'll avoid fixing them and the mess will win. Create locators early. Even if your arrangement is rough, put markers down. Intro, build, drop, break, drop 2. Here's a teacher trick. Your automation will be cleaner if your brain knows where it is. Locators turn a long timeline into sections you can audit. Now step 1. Stop automating random parameters. Build a macro control layer. This is the biggest cleanup lever in the entire class. The rule is simple. If it's worth automating in the arrangement, it's worth being a macro first. Start with bass. Put your bass sound design on one track, MIDI or audio, doesn't matter. At the very top of the chain, drop an audio effect rack. This rack is now your automation boundary. Inside, you can go wild, but outside you keep it readable. Now map only performance critical things. Keep it tight. 4 macros is a sweet spot for DNB, because you can see the whole story of the drop on one screen. Macro 1. Toner filter. Classic, auto filter frequency. Or if you prefer EQ-based tone shaping, map an EQ8 shelf gain. The key is that this macro is your dark to bright or close to open control. Macro 2. Movement. This can be auto filter LFO amount, or subtle phaser flanger amount, or any controlled modulation depth. The macro isn't the effect, it's the amount of motion you allow. Macro 3. Grit. Map roar drive if you want modern aggression, or saturator drive for classic harmonics, or pedal gain for mid-range bite. And we'll talk about making this mix safe in a minute. Macro 4. Space or throw. This can be reverb dry slash wet if you keep reverb inside the rack, or it can be a send amount approach if you prefer returns. Either way, the point is you have one lane for space moments, not 8 lanes of reverb parameter drama. For stock devices that shine here, auto filter, roar, saturator, EQ8, amp or pedal, glue compressor if you're gluing a bass bus. You can use whatever you like, but don't break the rule. Macro first. Now do the same concept on drums. Group your drum tracks into a drum group. On the drum group, add an audio effect rack and map a small set of controls. Macro 1. Drum crunch. Map roar drive or drum bus drive. Macro 2. Transient snap. Drum bus transients is perfect. Macro 3. Drum filter. Auto filter frequency. And yes, this is the famous build high pass sweep or underwater low pass moment. Macro 4 if you want it. Room, like a small glue reverb inside the rack, or you can control room via a return send. Right away, look at what just happened. Instead of lanes spread across kick, snare, hats, break, parallel chains, and random devices, you have a few group level lanes that tell the story. Step 2. Convert messy lane sprawl into macro lanes without losing the vibe. This is the moment where people get scared, because they think cleanup means starting over. It doesn't. We're going to transfer what you already wrote. If you already have 10 automations on bass, identify the two most audible. In drum and bass, it's usually filter cutoff and distortion drive. Map those targets to macros. Now copy automation from the original parameter lane to the macro lane. Show the old automation lane. Select the section you want. Copy. Then open the macro automation lane and paste. Ableton lets you paste automation between parameters, but ranges can feel different. If the movement suddenly overshoots or feels too weak, don't redraw the curve yet. Go to the rack mapping and adjust the macro min and max. That's your scaling control. Think of it like gain staging, but for automation intensity. Teacher note, macro range limits are not a technical detail. They're safety rails. In DNB, especially with heavy saturation, a macro that can go too far will eventually ruin a drop when you're moving fast. Tight ranges keep you creative and mix safe. Once you verify it sounds the same, delete or disable the old automation lanes. Be ruthless. The vibe lives in what you hear, not in the number of lanes you kept as souvenirs. Step 3. Remove hidden conflicts. Avoid automation fighting itself. There are two killers here. First, clip envelopes versus arrangement automation. Second, multiple automation lanes for the same parameter across time. If something is moving and you didn't tell it to, click the track, click the clip, and check the clip envelopes. If you see modulation on a parameter you're automating an arrangement, decide who wins. For DNB arrangement work, usually arrangement automation should win, because it's global and readable. Then use the back to arrangement button to make sure the arrangement is actually in control. This one button solves so many ghost movement problems that it's basically a life skill. Now zoom in and look for stray breakpoints. Those tiny points that create a weird little dip or spike are often the reason you get clicks at transitions or unexpected level jumps. Delete micro points. 2 points can often do the work of 10. Here's a quick automation audit you can do every session in about 5 minutes. While playback is running, click a device parameter and watch for the little automation indicator highlight. If something is animated and you don't expect it, you found the problem. Then scan section borders at your locators. Zoom at the exact boundary between intro and build, build and drop. Look for snap points, where a value suddenly jumps exactly on the marker. That's where clicks, tone pops, and why did the bass get louder? Surprises are born. And one more discipline move, make automation land on musically meaningful values. If a filter cutoff resolves, let it resolve on the bar line, not a 16th note before, unless you want that pickup feel on purpose. Step 4. Standardize FX throws. Automate sends, not plug-in parameters. DNB is built on fast throws, snare plate hits, vocal delay shots, impact tails. But if you automate reverb parameters on 8 tracks, your project becomes unreadable. Instead, build a return FX system. Return a DNB plate. Use reverb in a plate or chamber vibe, then EQ 8 after it. High pass around 200 to 400 HC so the low end doesn't smear, and tame harsh highs if needed. Return B. A dub delay, echo or delay, then an auto filter to shape throws, then a limiter to catch spikes. Now the rule. Automate send amount on the track. One lane. That's it. DNB throw tip. For a snare throw, draw a fast ramp up and a quick drop over an eighth to a quarter note. Snappy. If your throws feel slow, they'll feel like ambience. If they're sharp, they feel like punctuation. Step 5. Clean your lanes visually. Naming, ordering, and the one-screen philosophy. This is where the project becomes fast. Keep automation at the group level when possible. Drum group macros, bass group macros. Rename macros in DNB language, not macro 1. Call it bass tone, bass grit, DRM crunch, DRM HP sweep. If someone else opened your project, they should understand the intent instantly. Also, future you is as someone else. Now standardize your lane order. Pick an order that matches how you listen. Energy or filter first, then harmonics or drive, then stereo or width, then FX throws, then micro edits. Use the same order on bass and drums so your eyes know where to look when something feels off, and set a target. One screen of automation for the drop's critical movement. 4 lanes for bass, 3 to 4 for drums, 2 lanes for FX sends. If you need more than that, it doesn't mean you're doing it wrong, but it's a strong signal that you should consolidate. Step 6. Automation smoothing and curve discipline for tight rolling movement. DNB movement is fast, but messy curves create clicks, weird pumping, and accidental groove shifts. Do practical cleanup. Delete tiny points. Use fewer breakpoints. Be intentional about big moves. If you need chaos, make it controlled chaos. Here's a DNB-friendly smoothing trick. If you're automating distortion tone and it's getting steppy or unpredictable, put an auto filter after the distortion and automate that instead. Let the distortion stay stable and use the filter as the clean sweep layer. Another clean trick, if you're tempted to automate compressor threshold to fight loudness changes, Consider automating utility gain subtly instead. Utility gain automation is predictable. Compression threshold automation can turn into a moving target. Now let's add a couple advanced moves from the expansion material. First, staging lanes for complex gestures. If you want bass tone, grit, and space all rising together into the drop, don't draw three separate curves right away. Make a temporary staging macro called something like tension. Map it to multiple targets. Automate that one lane until the gesture feels right. Then either keep it as your gesture macro or split it into two concepts, like tension and impact, and delete the temporary lane. This avoids the classic problem where you tweak one curve and the other two no longer match. Second, dynamic macro ranges across the song. This is advanced but incredibly clean. Instead of writing more automation, change how far a macro is allowed to go. For example, in the break you might allow more reverb, but in the drop you cap it tighter so it doesn't wash the drums. You can do this by adjusting mapping ranges section by section during sound design and committing to those rails. If you want an even cleaner version, use indirect control. For example, map a macro to the utility gain on a parallel chain so the intensity is naturally contained without rewriting your main automation curve. Now step 7. Consolidate arrangement sections cleanly. Once your automation is macro-based, you can duplicate sections without duplicating chaos. Highlight your drop, say bars 17 to 33. Verify only the macro lanes are doing the heavy lifting. Duplicate it to create drop 2. For variation, change just a couple things. Increase bass movement intensity, push DRM crunch slightly in the last 8 bars, and add 2 or 3 FX throws. That's it. You get a new drop without a lane explosion. Now, let's hit a few pro tips for darker, heavier DNB. Macro ranges are your safety rails. Cap roar drive so you can't accidentally push into fizzy chaos. If you want more darkness, automate EQ rather than only distortion. This audio version is shortened for playback.